it up. We got a phone call from a lady, and they got a phone call from Franklin Graham's ministry, right, Samaritan's Purse. And what they've been doing, because our government dropped the ball, I know it's hard to believe, but our government has dropped the ball when it comes to the Afghan refugees that were our interpreters and taking care of our and working with our military. And so they've been bringing some of those that were promised to come to America out. And so they called and they said, would your church be interested in taking a family in out of Afghanistan and housing them and then helping them to get a license, helping them to get a vehicle, help it. You would pretty much be, it's like adopting a family from Afghanistan. And they said, what do you guys think? And I talked to the elders and everyone's like, yeah, well, what are you kidding me? Yeah. And so I called Pastor Paul. I said, hey, are you guys interested in coming alongside? Yeah. And so I don't know when, I don't know how this all works. We don't know anything. But you already guys already knew that. But we know it's going to happen. Because you know what? One day that's going to give us an opportunity to go back to that little town somewhere in Afghanistan and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to need other people to come and assist and walk alongside and help out. But I want you to know, whatever door God opens, I'm walking through it. Amen? They're taking care of all the paperwork on their end. I don't know how we're going to make it work here, but by golly, God's got a plan, and I want to be a part of it. Amen? Good. And besides, we need somebody that speaks Arabic and all of that stuff, or whatever language they speak there. I don't know. What is it? They speak Afghani. And so we'll find some other people around this country that are already here that don't know Jesus Christ. We don't know whether they're Muslims, whether they're Christians. I don't care. Because they're going to be Christians. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll be. Because we're going to love them in so many wonderful ways. They're bound to like some of them. Amen? And then we're going to watch other people's lives changed. So pray that you walk alongside of us with that. Just a lot going on in the kingdom of God, isn't there? You know, one of the things that we need to do, too, is we need to be very careful. I know, a lot of people, well, probably the majority of people in America are not happy with this administration, and it's understandable, but we as the church are called to pray for the president and those in authority over us, amen? Do I agree with them? Absolutely not, but I do agree with the word of God that says I'm supposed to pray because we're not going to attack authority, because if we attack that authority, guess what? All of our authority is attacked in every single home. The Bible says that we're not supposed to attack the authority. They're put there by God. And we're seeing just how dark man can get. When they bend over and ask on Ash Wednesday to get ashes and then say, hey, let's kill babies right up until the day that they're born. And even if they are born, now we want to pass another law where you can kill them up to 4 months after they're born. 4 weeks. Oh, 4 weeks. Not 4 months. 4 weeks after they're born. There's nothing more dark and demonic than taking something so innocent and so helpless and then deciding, now I become God and I'll kill what I want. It's disgusting. But our job is to pray for those in authority. Amen? That's what God's called us to do. It's not what my flesh wants to do. But thank God we walk in the Spirit. Amen? See, the enemy knows that if he can get this country ripping itself apart from the inside, we're done. So our job is to bring unity no matter where we go. No matter what people do, we still speak the truth. Amen? We still speak the truth. There was two articles that I read this week. One of them has been going on in Sweden for almost 2 years now. And one of the parliamentarian ladies, she had written a book and she had put scriptures in there about the scriptures when it comes to marriage and sexuality. And now they're bringing her up on charges of hate crimes. And another priest, he took her tweet and he retweeted it, so he's being brought up on hate crimes. And they could spend up to 2 years in prison just because they posted the word of God in a free country where there's free speech, free speech in Sweden. Guess what? The whole world's watching what happens in Sweden. Don't think we're outside of that. Because they are going to bring that thing like a broom and sweep it right around the world as fast as they possibly can. As fast as they can. And that's why you have to open your mouth and stand for what you know is right and proclaim the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sit back, heaven forbid, tell your neighbor, say, I ain't scared. I don't know how you spell it, but that's how we say it. Don't be afraid to proclaim the word of God, because your time might be coming where it's going to cost you something. And we start doing it now, we change everything. We change everything. Because there was a little girl, second grade, I forget the church, the school, Northville Church somewhere, I don't even know the state. 10 days in a row, the principal stopped her at the door, checked her backpack for tracks, took the tracks out of her backpack and told her she can't talk to her friends about the Lord Jesus Christ on the playground. Second grade, you don't think they're trying to sweep this thing? You don't think they're trying to shut you up? It has nothing to do with any government around the world. It has to do with the government that has an end, and it's the devil himself that's running this. Because he's petrified of you and the word of God. He doesn't care about Putin and the rest of them. There's a million of those dictators out there. The enemy's already got them. They're already set for destruction. He wants you and your children to shut up. That's what he's looking at doing. A second grader going home crying to her mom that the principal keeps taking her in the office and telling her she can't tell her friends about Jesus Christ. Oh, she can talk about abortion. She can talk about homosexuality and transgenderism and furries or whatever else they call it. They can talk about drugs and drinking. Oh, that's not a problem. But heaven forbid you say something about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to win that one in court, I guarantee you. There's way too many precedents. But moms and dads, you need to pay attention to what your children are talking about when they come home from school. The 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s are long gone. It's a whole different world that we're living in. And if the church doesn't wake up, that's us. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Tell your other neighbor, say, yep. That's us. How many churches? Look at 2,000 churches last year shut their doors forever. 40 churches per state closed up, no longer preaching the word of God. 40 of them per state. And then how many that are still open are even preaching the word of God? You're valuable. You're powerful. You're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what we've been told to preach. Christ and him crucified. Amen? All right. Let's see. I know. I'm going to lift up my hallelujah again because I... You know, I got to say we just thank you for the prayers and everything. We were down in Tennessee last week for the wedding of my son down the Smoky Mountains. And it was beautiful. And God does crazy things. He does crazy things. I just want to encourage you, stick to the word of God and stick to your guns. Don't back down for nothing. And you'll have what you say. You'll have it. We even got blessed and above and beyond. We get down there, my wife said, you know what, honey? I think I got some gift cards in my pocketbook. It's tough to find anything in that pocketbook. One time she couldn't find a bottle of water. She said, it's true. I'm not telling tales. And she said, yeah, I found these. I was like, all right, well, how much? I don't know. So we called up, $780 worth of gift cards. We didn't have to pay for gas. We didn't have to pay for hotels. We didn't have to pay for nothing. We were in down there. God is a good God. Amen. Holy mackerel. He was so good to us. And she got some new boots, new cowgirl boots. Oh, that's what I said when she put them on. Woo! We get down there and we go to the hotel. We walk in there and this girl that works there, she's from Earlton, where I'm from. It's the center of the universe. Yeah. We didn't pay $150 a night. We paid $35 a night because I'm from Earlton too. He's so good to us. Listen, He wants to bless his kids. Don't move from what you've been called to do. Don't move from what his word says to do. Don't move from what he told you how to think. Don't move from it, because he's got stuff in store for you. When you don't think about, when you're not even asking, all of a sudden, I don't even ask anymore. I just say, Bren, look in that bag, because there's something in there, I'm sure. Kia said this morning on that prophetic word, she said, remember the foundation. Remember your foundation. If that's strong, everything else you build is going to last. Remember the foundation. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 2 quickly. Can I tell you, a simple wedding in the Smoky Mountains is amazing. Amen. We went to this church, no electricity, no bathrooms. Yeah, y'all wouldn't have come. Built in the early 1900s, there's nothing there but pews and a building. We went in, we had church, had a wedding. We all went back to the cabin that they rented, and her mom made dinner, and we all had dinner. It was a 1900 wedding, exactly what my son and my daughter-in-law wanted. Just family, immediate family on both sides, and that was it. In a little, the closest bathroom was 40 minutes away. I got 7 grandkids that came. Yeah, they went to the bathroom before the wedding. Nobody drinks until after the wedding. Nobody gets a sip of water, all right? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to start there. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the curse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through what? It's not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. I'm here to tell you today that it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Amen? It's a gift that God has given. Verse 9. Not as a result of works. Tell your neighbor, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right? So that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand or before so that we would walk in them. So we're not saved by works, but we're saved for them. If you get the first one wrong, you're definitely going to get the second one wrong. A lot of people have forgotten that they're saved by faith. It was God's grace that saved us through faith. And when we get that one wrong, guess what? The works go out the window. I do what I want rather than what God's called me. Tell your neighbor, say, you're called for greater things. Steve, your lips didn't move. I'm waiting. Okay, you can read later, but you have to say it. Amen. I just want to make sure everybody's in on this. I don't want nobody sitting on the outside. Darren, are you called for greater things? Doggone right you are. He didn't give you that wife so you could do lesser things, that's for sure. He gave you her for greater things. He that denies the for is not upholding the by. If we're not serving him, then we don't remember the by, how we're saved. How easy is it to serve God when we're reminded where he took us from and where he's brought us. Every person in here, God's got good works. How easy were the bad works? Daily? We didn't even have to think about being bad, did you? A couple of years like, well, I don't remember. That's been so long ago. I'm not sure. You didn't have to think about it. When our foundation is strong, we don't have to think about being good and doing good works. It's an overflow of who we are. Amen? See, when the foundation is strong, like she prophesied earlier, remember the foundation. When that foundation is strong, then we don't even have to think about good works. We don't have to think, hey, the Williams family is in need. Okay. I didn't have to say to my wife the other day, what are we going to do? She said, I'm going to get a ham and bring it down to them. They could just cut up for sandwiches anyway. I'll just drop it off. Because we know that a lot of people come, especially when you have, what, 37 kids? Pretty close. I think they've got 10, right? 10 kids. That's a lot of mouths to feed. That's a big shoe she lives in. So Bren just thought, well, let's just go drop something off. Why? Because the foundation is strong. Then it's easy to just say, hey, what do they need? And go drop it off. Hey, what could we possibly do just to be a blessing? Yeah, but nobody called me. Who cares? When the foundation is strong, you don't have to wait for somebody to call. Right? When the foundation is strong, we don't have to have Pastor Tom come up here in his dinosaur outfit and say, hey, can somebody help me with children's church? Huh? What kind of suit outfit is it? A beaver? A beaver, sorry. He hasn't worn it in a while up here, all right? And we're glad, but he doesn't have to get up here and do a song and dance and say, hey, can somebody serve? Because when the foundation is strong, then the good works follow. Now, I know because I'm reading and I'm praying and I'm serving God and I'm spending time with my Father early in the morning, and then I lift up my hallelujah all day long. And then when there's something to do, I say, hey, put me in, coach.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
There's no thought about, I don't know. I'd rather look at my phone. I don't know. You know, that's not really for me. Serving isn't for you? I wonder where that foundation is. Sand or some solid rock? Which then will make your faith rock solid. So everything changes, all right? His redeeming work has got to be visible. We're the ones that make the redeeming work visible. Amen? That's what our job is. To show his glory, make the redeeming work of Jesus Christ visible, right? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, let your light shine before who? Men. In such a way that what happens? That they may see your, oh, they're going to have to be seen. See, because eventually, now the Bible says the only left hand know what your right hand is doing, and we understand that, but eventually the overflow of good works, the overflow of kind words, the overflow of your desires in your life, eventually people take notice, amen? And he said, do it. When you work with people, you're on the job, and they're probably all Christians where you work. And they all say nice things all the time. But when your foundation is strong and you say, hey, I'm not into those jokes any longer. I remember doing that. But I'm just not into it, okay? But why? What are you into? Have a seat, boys, because the meeting's starting soon. Eventually, our works will be visible to all of those around us. And can I tell you, whether they're good or bad, they're visible. Why? Because the Bible says that we're supposed to be walking in meekness, right? Which is that power under control. You've been endued with power from on high. That's some serious power. That's powerful power. Yeah. Right? What's that power for? To keep your foundation strong? And then to give you the authority over everything, every bit of darkness. I was thinking about that song, Hell Couldn't Keep Him Out, right? We sang that song. Hell couldn't keep him out. That's the picture that I have for every life in here. The darkest place on the planet, you walk in and it can't keep you out. And when you walk in, what did he do? He destroyed the power of darkness. Darkness no longer has authority over your life. When it's too dark for everybody else, it's just right for you. When nobody else wants to, oh, they're too mean, they're too ugly, it's too hard, there's too many drugs, there's too much drinking. Oh, is that so? Who are we going to call? Don't go there. You just give him your phone number and tell him I was meant to carry the light into the darkness, because there's no darkness that can keep me out. Why? The only darkness that keeps people out is fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of what?
Fear.
What did he give you? Power, love, and a sound mind. Man, whole bunch of sound minds in here. Maybe somebody told you, well, you're too simple. You don't understand. You don't see it. You can't do it. You're not smart enough. You didn't graduate. You only got a GED. Blah, 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 blah. And maybe you believed that before. And then I want you to know we don't believe it anymore. Ooh, I like that. Maybe you believed that before, but we don't believe that anymore. That's good. That's good. We don't believe that anymore. Because it's not your words, it's not your power, it's not your strength. It's not your plan, it's not your purpose. It's not your children. Everything is his. Everything is his. And so his desire is that we would walk in a way that's worthy of our God and the calling that he has given us. Because we've been given power, and our focus now is to use that power only for the good and the well-being of others. I want you to think about that. You've been given power for the good and the well-being of others. This is not to make you the most powerful. I'm the great and powerful Oz. It's what people want to become. They put their name in lights. Come and see me. Join my ministry. I want to come and see him. And I want to join in his purpose. And that's the only thing that I want to do. Why? Because the power that we've been given is for the well-being of those that never met him yet. You have the power to destroy darkness. You have the power to overcome every single thing that ever attacked you on this planet.
Yes.
And then that power that God has given you is for the well-being of everybody else that you come in contact with. It's to bring it and set them free. That is not when we walk in. Can you give me that water, Brent? When we walk in meekness and that power is under control, then it's for the wellness and the goodness of everybody else. How can I take what I've received from the throne and distribute it? The same thing that Jesus did with his body when we took up communion. Amen? We took communion and we break the bread and we say this was broken, but nothing was ever broken in Jesus' body. No bones are broken. The meaning of it was distributed for every single one that would call upon the name of Jesus, right? That's what you're here for. Taking the goodness and the power of God and distributing it to every single person in need, no matter where you walk. That's why we receive the power of God. And when we walk in that meekness, that's the outcome. Their lives are changed. Jesus perfectly demonstrates how power that operates through meekness cannot be quenched. When we walk in the power of meekness, you can't be stopped because it has nothing to do with how people respond to you. It has everything to do with me knowing who I am in Christ, what God's called me to do, taking his word and giving it to those that are in need and watching their lives change. That's all it comes down to. Whether they ever say thank you isn't the issue. You'll hear that when you get to eternity, right? We all sang that song. You'll hear that when you get to eternity. Right now, that's not what we're living for. We used to live for that. We used to clamor for people's opinion, making sure that everybody liked you. They don't. Look at your neighbor, say they don't. Look at your other neighbor, say they never will. They're not all gonna like you. This is not a popularity contest, regardless of what the TV preaches. This is not trying to do it all right so that everybody likes you. They don't. The person next to you does most of the time. Jesus walked in that meekness for the purpose of glorifying the Father. Amen? And then as we read, it's because of his mercy. And the question is not whether or not someone deserves mercy. The question is whether someone needs mercy. Question is not whether they deserve it. Do they need it? Then the question is, whether or not my spiritual life is rich enough to give them mercy. Is my spiritual life, is my foundation strong enough to give them mercy when I deem they don't deserve it, but I know they need it? Because that's meekness, power under control, where we still do what is right in the midst of our flesh screaming and saying, wait a minute. But our spirit man is saying, no, they need it. Pour it out. Pour it out. I can't pour it. Yes, you can. Pour it out. Stupid. And we have this battle that goes on the inside. Are we spiritually astute enough? Is our foundation strong enough that when there's a need, are we rich enough to extend it to them? See, that's when our works are, we're glorifying God when we walk in that. Amen? We start, then your works are being seen before men that when they didn't deserve it and women didn't deserve it, and you start to pour out mercy on them anyway because of the goodness of God. They get to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In the land of the living. We're not living for eternity. We're living to bring eternity right here, to bring the kingdom of God down into our lives and everywhere we walk. Amen? Philippians 2, 14 and 16, it says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Well, we can go home now. We can work on this week. It says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So we're going to have to hold fast to that word of life. The words that brought death and destruction, the words that were ugly in your past, you're going to have to let go of them. Every mistake that's been made, you have to let go of them. And you're going to have to grab a hold of and hold fast the word of life. If you want your foundation to be strong, our foundations get stronger the more of the word that we hold fast to. Our meekness or our power, and that is under control because we've already been given a measure, amen? We've already been given a measure of faith. We've already been given the Holy Spirit. So there's you don't need more power. Because when you got the Holy Ghost, baby, you got some power. Now we need to understand what we're supposed to do with that power. And we're going to have to listen to the voice of him who is powerful when we walk. Because it's not about, oh, God, I need more. He said, I give you any more, it'll kill you. You'll just, you'd be like fish food on the water. That's all that'll be left of you. You don't need no more power. You need understanding. He said, and all of you are getting, get what? Understanding of the power that you've already received. Making sure that you're holding fast to the word of life. So that in every situation, whether they need mercy or not, or whether they want mercy or not, whether if they need it, you're willing to give it. Even in an ugly situation. Taking that power, bringing it under control. Because our minds need to be renewed, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Is it good to give mercy? Yeah. Do you like getting it? By the 55-gallon drum full, I want it every day. And it's brand new. How often? See, God knows what they need because he said, I'm going to give it to you every morning. And it's going to be brand new. It's going to be something you've never tasted before. Fresh. Brand new. Every single morning, I'm going to meet you where you are, and I'm going to pour out my mercy upon you. Why? Because he said there's a whole lot of people that you're going to meet. They're going to need your mercy. And I need you to have enough power and understanding your foundation to be so strong that you're able to give it to those even when you feel like you don't have any or you don't want to. Why? Because of the meekness, that power under control. You're going to be reminded, no, my God has given me more than enough. Above and beyond anything I could ever ask or think, he's already given it to me. And therefore, wherever I walk, I'm going to be pouring it out. Why? Because I know he's going to fill me up in the morning anyway. And he fills me up with more than enough for everybody that I run into during the day. That renewed mind that God wants in each one of us, it transforms people, not just yourself. Once your mind is renewed, as we renew it more and more and more every day, it starts to transform everybody that we come in contact with. If nobody's lives are being transformed by the church, I'm going to look down, then are we renewing our minds? Or are we still talking like we did 10 years ago? Are we still saying the same things that we said 10 years ago? Or has our foundation gotten stronger and now we're starting to say the same things that God says? And when his word goes into action, then that power is released from each one of us, that meekness that happens where we share the word of God with great faith. But if nothing is changing around us or anyone around us, is there something wrong with them? We blamed them before, haven't we? Oh, you don't know that one. Oh, that's the hardest one you'll ever meet. You'll never get through to them. Every time I hear that, I say, that's the one I want. That's the one I want. They're usually the easiest ones. Remember, you were some of them. They're usually the easiest. Oh, brother, you don't understand. He's the hardest one. That guy, he's rough. He's hard. He's this. He's good. That's the guy I want to go meet. Because that's the fun stuff. See, that's like hell can't keep you out. That's right. When you hear that, oh, that's the darkest spot. That's what I was made for. I was built for darkness. I'm a darkness destroying son of a gun. When we walk in, darkness is dispelled. Why? Because if he goes before me, his light goes before me and it drives out the darkness. It has nothing to do with me. And then all I have to do is bring his word in and that meekness, that power under control where I'm not afraid because he hasn't given me a spirit of fear. And then we walk in there and the next thing you know, mercy is released and people's lives are changed. That's what God does through each and every one of us. So don't be afraid of what's coming. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. That's what he said. He said, but for the church, don't worry about it. Been a bunch of these knuckleheads around since the beginning of time. One country conquering another is going to happen continually. He said, but I don't want you watching the news 24 hours a day. What happened next? What happened next? What happened next? He said, I want you looking at my word, and I want you proclaiming what's going to happen next into every life that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to be the news source into everyone's life. I want you to tell them what happens when they do accept Jesus Christ. I want you so built up on the foundation and making it so strong that when you walk in, that power walks in, mercy floods the room, and people's lives are changed because you're not interested in all of the nonsense that's consuming the world. You're interested in bringing the kingdom of God into the very living room of every place that you walk. Because when that kingdom comes in, it changes that living room, and nothing in that area changes until the people change. Everything that God did, he does it secretly from the inside out. He doesn't do it from the outside in, trying to do it with a mass amount of people. He always did it with a few.
Right.
Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. All right, two more minutes. Verse 10 said that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Right? Our thoughts change drastically. From sitting around and waiting to go to heaven to others experiencing heaven on earth. That's what happens when we change and when we grow. Thy kingdom come, what happens? Where?
On earth.
As it is in where? So it's no different. Our freedom that we're supposed to have here is the same freedom they have here. They have in heaven. There's no doubt. Are you loved?
Yes.
With an insatiable love? Yeah. Doesn't love change everything? It does. A few weeks ago, I tried to get a hold of Jake Johnson. I texted him because we were going out of town. I needed somebody to watch the house. He does an incredible job. He even took my truck, plowed my driveway. He never plowed before. He's a good boy. He texted my sons and said, I'm a plowing beast. But I was trying to get a hold of him a week beforehand. I said, hey, Jacob, I just need somebody to watch the house. Nothing. Crickets. Typical, huh? I waited. Not so patiently. Finally, I get a text. And it was understandable. It was understandable. He said, I'm sorry, Pastor. Molly came home from college and we went to lunch. That is a legal excuse for not texting me back. There is no problem with that whatsoever. Amen? But that's what love is. That's how love acts. That's how love responds. Everything else, what? What's going on in the world around me? I don't know. I'm in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. What's happening around you? What? What do you mean? Oh, I don't know how bad that is over there. I'm just telling you how good he is. I don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to solve this conflict, but I know the conflict that's going on inside of you, and I know how to solve that. We don't get, because when we fall in love with God, I want to talk to the Lord, and I want to tell everybody about the Lord. I don't want to answer anybody's texts. Sorry, I'm just staring at the Lord. We're having lunch. That's what love does. That's what love looks like. When we fall in love with the Word, when we fall in love with the Lord, when we fall in love with His plan and His calling and His purpose, everything changes. And we can't see anything else. Oh my goodness, is His love kind towards us. Amen? Because He said, you being rich in mercy because of His great what? Love. You're rich in mercy. You're rich in mercy because of His great love. You're not rich in mercy because you're a nice person. You weren't very nice before Jesus came on the scene. But now you're rich in mercy because of His love. And the more we fall in love with Him, the more mercy we have. Amen? It reminded me, when I got Jake's second text, it reminded me of God's love for me and how I wanted to be. It just reminded me, oh, I forgot anybody else was on the planet because I was with the one I love. Right? And when we start to think like that, when I'm in my time with reading the Word or in prayer, I get lost with my God. Sometimes I'm sitting in the living room reading, and then I start, something God gives me jumps out of the Word, and I'm sitting there, next thing you know, I'm just preaching, and my wife says, what are you doing? Just reading the Word. She said, well, your lips were moving really fast. Well, I was preaching what I was reading because it just stirred up. I felt so in love with the Word that God deposited in my spirit that I could just see standing before so-and-so or in some place or some other country. And the next thing you know, there's thousands of people listening to the Word being preached and being transformed by the power of His love. So it happens when we fall in love and we agree with the power of His Word. Amen? I don't care what any other doctor has to say, any lawyer has to say, any other person on the planet has to say. I only care about what he has to say. He's the one that trumps everybody else's words. And when we agree with that, we change everything. And this morning, you were changed by your hallelujah. You were. That cloud that was trying to coast along over top of you, it disappeared. That issue that you carried in, you're not carrying out. Your hallelujah loosed that from your life. It loosed it. It has nothing to do with you anymore. That darkness, it was conquered by His great love. Your act of faith destroyed the lie of the enemy over your life when you came in. Stand up this morning. Micah 6:8, it says, He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Remember what that is? Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly before your God. Do justice this week, love mercy. Pastor Mahanti in India, his wife's name is Mercy. So he has to. But we're called to love mercy, meaning we're capable of giving it out. We're capable of distributing it to anyone who has need, and you'll never run dry. Never. Because of His kindness, because of His loving kindness towards you. Oh my goodness, is He good towards us? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning and we're so thankful for the freedom that you have given us, Lord. Where else could we go? A lot of people have made a lot of plans, Lord, for this day. But we had to go where there was words of life. We had to come into your presence. We had to get lost with you. We had to be overwhelmed by your loving kindness again. We had to come in and see the other brothers and sisters and strengthen them in the Lord and the power of your might. We just had to come. I wanted to go to the house of the Lord. That's all we wanted to do, Lord. Because your mercy is upon us and your grace is enough. And Father, today, I thank you that the foundations are stronger in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, and as we chew on your word and as we fall in love with you, Lord, let it be a week where we can't see anything else. All of the things that are going on, we simply listen to the leading of your Holy Spirit and accomplish that which you've sent us to do. Lifting up those that are in authority over us in this nation, destroying the divisions and the schisms that are coming. Lord, so that you would be glorified in everything that we do and say. And Holy Spirit, I pray that we would have a fine-tuned ear this week to be able to know who needs mercy so that we would take time out of our lives and pour it out upon them. Thank you, Father, for tomorrow morning, even though it hasn't come yet. We know that you're going to run into our bedrooms. You're going to flood our homes with mercy. It's going to be brand new tomorrow, and we'll be overwhelmed by it. And your loving kindness that's from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, thanks for the new name you gave us and the writing our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't even know what name you gave us to write in there. But Father, we look forward to it. Because every time you come on the scene, all of our names change. And we become who you say we are. And we thank you for the new name over the house of God. We thank you for it, oh God. Freedom, joy, peace, mercy, grace, long-suffering. Father, you said that's who we are. Let us walk in it this week that someone else's life has changed. Thank you for empowering everyone this morning. Filling up each one, oh God, in the power of your might. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.